Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministry. Hope you guys are having a wonderful week. I have not finished. I was working on the second part of Psalms. I haven't finished it up yet, but I'm still working on it. But I do have a sermon that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to preach on, and I'm still working on part two of that of Psalms from last week. So hopefully by this week I'll have it laid out, the second part, and it looks like there may even be a third and fourth part to that. So you know, just praying, seeing what direction the Holy Spirit wants me to go. But nevertheless, if you're just joining this podcast, welcome. If you've been listening for a while, praise God. Just means that you love truth. I'm all about the truth. I'm about God's word and centering on God's word. That is very important to me. And to find other believers out there, or true believers out there, that are, they want that. They want truth as a centerpiece of their life, and they live their life through scriptures. Now, I'll say that, but then when you start looking at scriptures and say, this is how we're supposed to live our life, and none of us are perfect, but then you say, well, I don't like those scriptures, so I'm going to ignore those scriptures because they just don't fit in my agenda, then you have problems, because the Word of God is that light in our path. And even though we may struggle at times to stay on that path, you know, because that's the human nature, that's the flesh, we should always be striving to reach that mark. So this week's sermon title is Hope as an Anchor in Our Life. Hope an Anchor in Our Life. Our reading today is Hebrews 6, 18 through 19. That's Hebrews 6, 18 through 19. This passage is the centerpiece of scripture. I encourage you to just go back after this sermon and look over it. Look back over the words and memorize it. Man, there's power in memorizing scripture. We become dangerous to our enemy, that is Satan and his demons, when we memorize scripture. That is powerful. So Hebrews 6, 18 through 19 says this, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, with which enter into that within the veil. As you guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just go over these scriptures, Lord, I pray that you guide and you direct this sermon. I never know who's going to listen to this. I know somebody will. God, I pray you give me the strength to speak the words that you need me to speak, Lord. I pray the Holy Spirit just to be all over this. I pray those that are going through things in their life, the despair that this life can carry, the hopelessness that this life can carry, the depression and anxiety can be so overwhelming sometimes in this life. But there's hope within your presence. If we learn more to just stay there with you, in your presence, all these other things we just let go, and we truly give them to you. When we truly give them to you, they hold no weight on us. We truly release them to you. They hold no weight on us. Let's let go of those things, those weights, those chains wrapped around us. In the end, all that matters is you, Jesus. You moving in our lives to be that light. Everything else is secondary. Everything is secondary when we place you at the center of our lives. We keep our eyes firmly on you. When things come that are secondary, we just let them be. You are primary, the person, you are our centerpiece. You are our God. You will stay there with us. But we can distance ourselves easily. We can distance ourselves from you. And you're right there. Let us come and recognize that distance. Let's seek your guidance. Let's want more of you and less of ourselves as we journey through this life, knowing this life is such a brief point, but we try to make it feel like it's forever, but it's just a speck on eternity. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sorry about that. My little dog started barking. Our key scripture here is Hebrews 6, 18 through 19. That's, remember, the centerpiece. Man, I know today when we look around us, guys, it's gas prices, right? Inflation. Grocery bills. Some of us may be experiencing loneliness, not having a companion, seeking that special person. I want to tell you, when we're seeking somebody, if we are a Christian man or a Christian woman, we are supposed to seek those individuals that love Jesus as much as we love Jesus. And if you don't have that companion, and especially in this day and age, with all the strains that are already on us, it will make it worse for you. I know you look at the cost of living, especially here in America. It's straining. Groceries, you go to grocery, you're paying almost double on food. There's some places where you can't even find food on the shelves here in America. And they're saying it's going to get worse. I don't know about if the gas prices will ever drop or they will keep going up. I don't know if inflation is going to keep on going up or going down. I do not have those answers. I'm just simply a man of God who loves God with everything he has. And I'm not immune from all the prices going up. My wife and we're feeling the strain as everybody else is. Majority of people feeling right. It's rough. It's hard to stay positive, to have a positive attitude with everything that is going around. And most of y'all can relate. And this leads to stress. And stress leads to depression. And depression leads to anxiety. And next thing you know, you are starting to feel hopeless. Hopeless. I don't know if you guys ever dealt with, like, sunglasses. They used to have these sunglasses where you put them on and you could look at them and you could see, like, green. Like, everything was in green. And you put another pair on and you could see everything in blue and different colors, right? I'm only saying this because the way the world views things, the sunglasses, that the way the world is, should not be the same sunglasses that we are wearing. The way the world views everything, we should not be viewing it the same way. we can definitely, I know I have, can be guilty of viewing this life the way the world does. You know, I'm going to strongly encourage you to take those glass sunglasses off. Stop seeing your challenges and your situations like the world sees it. Because if you are a child of God, we are not supposed to see it the way the world sees it. Meaning our hope is not the same hope that this world has. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate hope. At this point, I'll say, can I get an amen? We do not hope the way the world hopes. Their hope is empty. Their hope is all about me, I, me, I. It's about selfishness. If you don't believe me, just look at, and it's sad, even with the church, especially here in America, you know, Roe versus Wade was overturned. Now that doesn't end abortion. The ideal thing would have been for them to recognize that was a constitutional, that goes against the Constitution, and they should have banned abortion completely and said this is a violation of the constitutional right and all states have to recognize it. I mean, that would end abortion all across in America. But no, the federal government said we're just dropping it down to the states. Now the individual states can make that decision. Don't get me wrong, it's a step in the right direction, because the federal government, a few judges are trying to make a decision on millions of people. That's never a good thing, but it's good that, you know, the states now have that. But here's the thing, it doesn't outlaw abortion. Some states will, and the state of Louisiana, I believe they truly will ban it, and we will become a safe haven for unborn children. But you've got places like California, New York. But I want to tell you, when we look at the abortion scenario, and you'll see it on Facebook, you'll see those saying, my body, my choice. But these are the same people that when you looked at the vaccination, they say you need to get vaccinated. Now it's not my body, my choice. It's about you protecting me. Your body's not yours. It's the government. Go get vaccinated. They do not. They wobble back and forth. They are not. They're unstable. They are mentally unstable. When you look across the LGBTQI plus, or wherever you want to look at now, that used to be a mental disorder. Homosexuality, transgender. I know, because I used to, when I was in school a while back ago, and I got my psychology degree, on books that was considered a abnormal behavior. It was a mental disorder. It needed to be corrected. And I stand today, even though they have corrected it in textbooks and in the psychology stuff, I still stand on that. It is a mental disorder. It should always been, see, the American Psychological Association caved to the LGBT, as many are, and because they didn't want to get sued and they didn't want bad PR, so they cave. And now they endorse this mental disorder. It's all about self. But when you look at abortion, it's murder. Of course, they'll take that little, small percentage. And that percentage matters, though. Rape and incest. I'm not justifying rape and incest. It's horrible. But that's such a small percentage. While the rest, it's all about conveniency. Why don't, you know, if, and that's, it's amazing because that's been the argument up to 40 plus years now. Let me say, why didn't they put a clause for that in the abortion? They didn't. Why? Because they know it's such a small percentage, it wouldn't matter. It would not help them out in their, it wouldn't help them out. Planned Parenthood wouldn't help them out. That was such a small percentage. It wouldn't do nothing. That's why they didn't. They could have put an acceptance clause in there because abortion is only approved through rape and incest. You have to prove, and they have rape kits, right? And they, if it's incest or whatever, it can prove who the father is. You have all this data that you can put on books, and okay, that's rape, so... there it is. That's that small percentage. So we don't know. They take that little percent and they try to make it apply to the rest of the 98 or 97% that do it because they want to have sex. They want to do it because they want the conveniency. They want to love their sin because they're selfish. The arguments about rape and incest is old. And they don't stand up if you really look at it. But what I'm getting at, the hope that this world is faith, that hope is centered on them. It's all about them. It's all about what they can get. It's all about this, but our hope is not on us. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. It centers on Jesus Christ and what He has promised us as children of God. That first verse here, 18, says, that first is about two immutable things. That is, by two unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. God does not lie. Let's camp around this a little bit. Our God, Yahweh, does not lie. This means that everything written in our Bible, like all the promises are written in the Word of God, each promise is true because God does not lie. If I had to ask you how many promises are in the Bible, what would you tell me? It all depends on really what translation you're looking at, but if they're keeping true to the heart of the text, how many promises are in the Bible? Would you say 100, maybe 200, maybe 300, maybe 400, maybe 500, 1,000? How many? 7,000, over 7,000 promises are in the Bible, and they're all true because God does not lie. And I want to encourage you, ever get an opportunity, do your own Bible study on the promises. As you as a child of God that have and apply them to your life. When you're feeling down, look at the promises that God has given you. He is a centerpiece of our life. This will lift your soul. He gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. Because who He is. One of my favorite psalms is Psalms 23. It's a David psalm. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He made me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely in goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. This is David. David could relate to a shepherd. You follow David's historical account as a boy in his daddy's shepherd field, or the pastor, and he's watching over these sheep. He could relate to watching over these sheep. these sheep were prone to wander. And there was predators out in them woods or in those in the deserts or wherever he was at watching these sheep. There was predators. There was bears and there were lions. And one account shows how he basically goes in there and he removes a sheep from a bear and from a lion. He was a mighty warrior even when he was a kid, or what we would call a kid. And he got his who his Lord is and who our Lord is. Our Lord is our great shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He will guide us. He will direct us. And he will lead us through his path, not our path, not what we think we want. We need to get away from that. Get away from me, I, you, me. America's bad about that. It's all about what we can get. The promises are not about us. It's about Jesus and what he has done for us. And because he done those for us, I want to tell you some of these promises, they're not easy promises. Right? Flip over there to Matthew 7, you can read. Blessed are those that you're persecuted. Look at all the disciples, what they had to go through. In this life, we will have tribulations and trials. Right? James 1:2-3 said, brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That's many trials. Knowing this, that a trying your faith works patience. Patience is not a, especially here in America, is not a sought that virtue. Look at everything wants to be on demand. Everything. We order a package, we expect it to be here tomorrow. We don't want to wait. We have internet access here, but they're increasing it to 5G so that we can watch videos faster than 10 seconds, because I guess 10 seconds is too long. We're high demand. We want, our patience are lacking. But one of those promises is you're going to get patience. Like it or not, it's coming. Now all these promises are easy promises. And it's not about you. It's about how Jesus can guide you and direct you and make you more like him. Shape me. Make me like you, Jesus. Our dreams, our aspirations only take second to the priority of what Jesus needs in our life. We center on the promises because we want to be more like Jesus and less like ourselves. Don't sit there and say, oh, I'll look at the promises because it's all about me, I. That is not what they're about. They're about growing in Christ. It's about the promises that Jesus, what he has done for you and me. It's about what he done. That we have this. And because he done that, this is what he expects for us. He expects us to be his disciples. Crucifying our flesh, right? Dying daily. I say, can I get amen? Are we dying daily? Are we crucifying our flesh? Are we just focusing on our things in our life and centering on ourselves? He tells you if you don't, you can't forsake this world. You can't be his. If you love this world, you can't be his. If you love your sin, you can't be his. Oh, you won't hear these messages preached in the pulpit because why? They don't sell. They don't sell. They don't sell, I'm telling you. Look at your most popular message. Look at your most popular message today. This week. Google it. Look at the sermon that got the most hits. I can almost guarantee you it's going to be what I call that progressive Christianity garbage. I'm going to tell you it's that going to be that prosperity garbage that is being preached. It's about you. It's about your best life. It's about what God can do for you. Oh, we would just all want to be like God. Oh, we want those big homes and we want those big cars. And oh, you don't have to give nothing up. It's all about us. Oh, motivate us, preacher man. Motivate us because we want to be God. We want to place ourselves. Oh, what can we gain? Oh, what money can we gain? Oh, what fame can we gain? Oh, I want to elevate my life higher than Jesus. I'll tell you, that stuff sells, but that is not the gospel. It's a perversion of the gospel. Our Lord is our shepherd. He guides us. He directs us. David tells us in Psalm 23, He restores my soul. He leads me in a path of righteousness. You won't hear about righteousness much in the pulpit today. You will not hear about holiness and walking a life that is honoring God. He says in verse 4, Yea, thou walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. For the Lord is with me. Why? Because he is that rod. He is that staff. That comforts me. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David got this. But when you look at this, it's just a little snapshot of who God is. It's a snapshot of his goodness, his compassion. And he is our shepherd. And we are true children of God. We are his sheep. John 10:25-30 says, Jesus answered, I told you and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, thou bear witness of me. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hears my voice and I know them. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which give them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I am a Father or one. See, we are sheep. I am a sheep. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. You see, as sheep, we get scared, right? A lot of times happens when we're operating off that fear. It's because we have distanced ourselves from the great shepherd. We have let our life stray in a path of sin. But the good news is, you don't have to stay on that path. Jesus is right there. But when we're on this path, this can lead to hopelessness. We're not reflecting on God's word and looking at the promises that he has given us through his holy scripture. Do not go a day without studying the Bible. Bible study should be a key every day. It helps us draw near to God. It gives us that hope through the scripture that no one can take away from us. We can distance ourselves from it. Yes. And we will feel the strain of that distance. Don't distance yourself. The other part of verse 6 is, we might have a strong consolation that's encouragement. Who have fled for refuge to lay a hold upon the hope is set before us. We can be encouraged as children of God because we have a refuge to go to. A refuge of hope. And this refuge has a name. His name is Jesus Christ. Psalms 18:10 tells us, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and is safe. I don't know if you've ever seen a tower. Maybe you've seen some movies, or maybe on Facebook, or maybe on the internet, where you see a castle and it has these towers, these physical towers in this castle. And on some of these castles a time ago, they had armed guards up there, and they're watching over these castles. And why were they watching over these castles? They're watching over the enemies that won't destroy the castle. And of course, this is a physical tower, but we take this into account and say, Lord is our spiritual tower. And within that castle, we have those towers within His presence. We have that protection from the enemy, Satan and his demons. I'm going to tell you, Satan and demons, their MO is simple. John 10:10, right? Kill, steal, and destroy. And when we create this gap, this distance, we allow Satan and the demons to creep into our lives. And we start feeling that negativity in our life. Because that's what they want to do. They want to inject the depression. They want to inject the anxiety. They want to put this darkness all around you. And you're scratching your head and trying to figure it out. I'll tell you, get back to the Word of God. Quit centering on yourself and center on that rock. That strong tower. The Lord is our strong tower. And those who are righteous, they run to it. And they are saved. Proverbs 18:10. Amen. Even you got to realize, even though we are in His presence, we're still going to have trials and challenges. But these are to grow us to be more like Him. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. That's trial and challenges. But He said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And of course, I quoted James 1:2-3. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. We will still have challenges and trials in this life. The thing is perspective. We don't view these challenges and trials like the world views it. We view these as opportunity to center our lives more on that rock that is Jesus Christ. James 1 tells us, count it all joy. J-O-Y is Jesus over you. Meaning, when you're going through these trials and tribulations, you're centering it on Jesus. Of course, we need to check ourselves though. Are we creating these trials because of us, and we simply look at our life? And I mentioned some of that already. Have we allowed sin to creep into our lives? Are we trying to focus more on ourselves? You know, if you are. It's a matter of spending that time alone with Jesus daily. You'll get your answer, I promise you, through prayer. How long is your prayer? How long do you pray? When you pray, is everything else running through your mind? You're laying there on your knees or however you're praying, but you're thinking about the day, or you're thinking about this and you're thinking about that, and you're allowing the devil to put all this other stuff in your mind. You need to rebuke him in Jesus' name. You need to first focus your prayer on that. Jesus, and use the word of God. So Jesus, the devil is infiltrating my mind. He's putting these negative thoughts in my mind, Lord. In your name, in your holy and beautiful name, in the name of Jesus Christ, remove this. I know he has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But you, Lord, as you're going to give me eternal life, Lord, there's power in your name. There's power in the blood. You plead the blood of Christ, and you start quoting scriptures, and you start recognizing. You can pray through putting the armor on. He said, Lord, oh, my belt of truth, let it be solid faith, let it be planted faith, let me put my truth on, Lord. Oh, you are the truth, you are the way, the life, and the truth. And you can say, oh, my breath, the breastplate of righteousness, oh, you're righteous, Lord, protect my heart. And you start praying through the scriptures, and when you do that, you will find that the devil will flee, because he cannot do nothing when you're praying through the word of God. He can do not nothing when you start centering your life on Christ, when you start bringing that presence on you, the Holy Spirit is pouring through you, that light will radiate, and the devil will have to flee. And that's one way to get rid of the devil out of your prayer life, because he wants to distract you. He wants to keep you busy. He wants you to think about the day. And we get all that out of the way, and then we start focusing on, Lord, do I have sin in my life? Lord, if I do, remove it. Lord, if I have idolatry in my life, remove that. There's a power in that type of prayer. And you say, Lord, if there's any fault in me, Lord, help me with that. Lord, I repent of what my life is. I want to look more like you, Lord. You get to the heart of the things, Lord. And you said, these things I'm going through, these trials and these challenges, Lord, wherever they are, Lord, Lord, give me the strength to endure. I want my life to look more like yours and not like mine. Lord, I want people to see Jesus through me. I want to endure. My life should want to be an example of yours. Do you pray like that? Just let the Holy Spirit pour through you. Let the Holy Spirit pour to you. But that's how we have to pray. In this life, we will have trials and challenges. This is reality. But the catch here is, we do not need to respond the way the world responds. I know this can be hard, and I speak from experience. And I'm not immune from overreacting, but the goal is not to. Our focus is to begin the day to not respond to the way the world responds. We will face challenges, and it will get worse in this world, I promise you. The days, weeks, months, years, I don't know what tomorrow brings, but all I know is when you look at scripture, it will get worse. And the key is to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Keep our eyes firmly planted on him through our prayer life, through our Bible study, having fellowship with one another, having brothers and sisters to hang out with. All important to enduring. And we should desire his presence all day long. When we do this, we can look at the challenges as opportunities to be that light in that world that's filled with darkness. We start taking our eyes off ourselves, and we start placing our eyes on Jesus. And the world is hopeless, but we do not have to be hopeless, because we have one of a true hope that they don't have. We know one day when this life is over, tomorrow could be our last day on this earth, and we'll be looking at God, and He'll say, okay, I pray that you are a child of God, because you'll be having a different conversation. But He'll look and say, what did you do with this life I've given you? Were you all about yourself? Were you all focused on yourself? Were you focused on me and the ministry that you could be doing for me? Oh, if you want to do it solo, you're not doing it solo. The Holy Spirit is in you. You should never feel lonely, because the Holy Spirit's in you. The Holy Spirit will comfort you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Oh, take comfort in knowing the Holy Spirit's in you, and He will be your comforter. Amen. Verse 19 says, in Hebrews 6:19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which is entered into within the veil. Of course, it's pointing to Jesus Christ as our only hope. This anchor, right? The anchor of our soul, which is both sure and steadfast, meaning it's solid. I don't know if you ever been on a ship or a boat. And some ships will have an anchor. And you may ask, what is the point of an anchor on a ship? And say if it's a calm weather and you're doing some fishing or whatever, they will drop that anchor down so that ship, even on a calm day, may the wind won't be drifting off course. And that's a physical anchor. And sometimes during a storm, they may drop an anchor, but the anchor's not always steadfast and sure in that storm, a physical storm. But I want to tell you, the anchor of our soul, which is Jesus Christ, is more sure and steadfast than any physical anchor in this world. He is the spiritual anchor in our life. And when we recognize that, this is one of the promises of those 7,000 promises that God has given us, because He does not lie. He is the anchor of our soul, meaning the storms that we go in this life, wherever it may be, He will keep us anchored to Him. But do we recognize we have that anchor? And to be that anchor, you have to realize that this is not about you. Get over yourself. It's not about you. It's about how Jesus Christ can use you in that storm. We will have challenges within the storms of this life. Mark 4:35-41. Let me turn there. It says this, in the same day, even when was come, He said to them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had seen away a multitude, they took Him even as He was in his ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke Him, that's the disciples, they woke Him, and said unto Him, Master, cares thou that we perish, that we die? He rose, He rebuked the wind, He said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? And how is that ye have no faith? And they fear exceedingly, and said one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Wow. This historical account of the disciples in this ship, this boat with Jesus Christ, is just these guys, they have seen Him do things that they have never witnessed, and now they're being challenged by this physical storm. But see, Jesus Christ was right there in that boat with them, but they were still freaking out, and they're worrying that they will die, and they woke Jesus up, and they're like, Jesus, do you care if we die? Oh, we can be like that way, can't we? We can be running around saying, Jesus, why are we going through this? Jesus, why do you care about me? And Jesus does care, and he says, I am there with you, but you have to ride this storm out. Ride it out. But you don't have to do it alone. But he had to rebuke that storm, right? And he said, what did he say? He said, peace be still. Peace be still. Oh, he could create a peace within your storm today. You could be in the middle of a crisis in your life, and you can have a peace that surpasses all understanding, because of this peace of the Holy Spirit that lives inside you if you're a child of God. And we'll tell you, he says, peace be still, but then he presents this question that he can present to you and me during that storm when we're asking God, why? He asks, why so fearful? You see, this fear that he's speaking of is a fear, a phobia. It's a negative reaction to the events in our lives. In their life, they're having a negative event. This spirit of fear is not of God. Because why? He gives us love and sound mind. He does not induce this phobia, this fear, this negative fear that is brought on by the enemy. This fear is from Satan, not God. This fear will drain you. This fear will engulf you in a sea of darkness. And this darkness of depression, anxiety, this sea of hopelessness will swallow you. Do not let this fear cripple your life and steal your joy. And he says that second question, how is that ye have no faith? No faith. Instead, let your faith. That's that trust in Jesus, that he's got this. That's trust that his word is stepping obedience in the path that he has you to walk. Are you walking in that path that he has for you? Are you trusting in the word and the many promises that he has given you? Does your speak louder? Do your faith speak louder than your fear? Does it? Are you walking in your calling? Are you involved in the ministry? Are you reaching those for Christ? Oh, if you center your life in the mission that God has you, get involved in your church. Get out there and witness to people. Get out there and get involved. Don't let the spirit of fear, this negative fear, take over your life. Let your faith speak volumes over your fear. Don't let those storms define you. Don't let them challenges define you. Do not let your situations define you. Let Jesus Christ define you and how he can use you in those situations. In closing, when we look at this world, it's easy to fall in the pit of despair. That pit can fill you with depression, anxiety. It can leave you down a path of hopelessness. But a child of God, we do not have the hope that this world has. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. If you take anything away from this message this week, take this. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. He is the anchor that holds everything together. He is that strong tower. He's that strong tower. And within that strong tower, we have that peace and security in Jesus Christ. However, when we start to wonder, we get ourselves into trouble quickly. As times get more challenging, chaotic, let's draw closer to the master of the storms in life. Do not draw away from him. Do not. The more we draw away, the less peace we'll have in our life. The more this negative fear will grip our life and lead us into the sea of depression, anxiety, of this hopelessness. We start losing perspective, meaning we look at the challenges in this world like this. We look at the challenges in this world like the world does, and then our behavior starts mimicking this world. And when we do this, we draw ourselves away from God, and we're losing that perspective. Next thing we know, we're in that pit, and we don't know how we got there. I'm gonna tell you, we don't have to go there. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And you're there today, I want to tell you, you don't have to stay there. God loves you. He's calling you back. He said, are you listening? Open your ears. God loves you. He calls you to walk away from that negative fear. He calls you to walk away from that life of living hopelessness and that despair and that depression. He calls you away from that. He calls you, do not have to live in that state. He says, stop doing that. Stop acting like this world. Get back to the Word of God. And what does the Word of God say or says? This world does not have the same hope that we have. Let's get that straight. We have this hope when life is over. As a child of God, there's a better place waiting for you and me. If you are His. And we cannot even imagine. Yes, in this life we will have trials and tribulations. But this life is just a sharp puff compared to eternity. That's perspective, right? Pray that your anchor is in Jesus Christ today. And that your faith speaks louder than your fear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to get into your word, Lord. I pray that you give us strength. Give us strength to endure the rest of the night, tomorrow, this week, months, and years. Let us be students of your word. Let's seek you more than our own desires. Our desires can lead us astray. Let us not look at this world as an example of how we are supposed to walk. Let us not define our hope according to this world's hope, because it's empty. Their hope is empty. It leads them to darkness. Their hope is centered on themselves and what they can get out of this life. And our hope is centered on Jesus Christ and how He can use us in this short period of time to reach those for the gospel. Our blessed hope is when we die or the rapture, whatever, our physical death. Today could be our last day. Did we tell anybody about Jesus today? Did we reach to somebody that needed to hear the Word of God? If we didn't, we wasted our day. Did we center our day on ourselves? Focusing on ourselves more than Jesus? How is our prayer life? How is our prayer life? How is our studying God's Word? I want to tell you, if we're not studying at least His Word a few hours a day, there's problems. And we're not praying for a few hours a day, there's problems. And we're not seeking His direction daily, constantly, there's problems. The good news is, you can change all of that right now. You can start seeking His face more. flooding your life with scripture. Constantly praying. Seeking His direction. Even through the pain. Knowing this pain and this life can be painful is only brief compared to eternity. God, I pray that we just get that perspective that we need. And we only can find this perspective through You and through Your Word. When we realize this world's it's not about us. It's about how You can use us. And of course, we get the benefits of being Your children. Don't mean it's always going to be a bed of roses. Oh, if we could just talk to Paul. The Apostle Paul. But we don't really... We got a lot of his letters in the Bible, so... We can really talk to Him through the Word. But if we could physically talk to Him, He would tell us. In this life, we will have trials and temptations. But keep on pressing on. Keep enduring. Because I guarantee where He's at now, in heaven, with Jesus, in His presence, He would say it was all worth it. And we have that reward waiting for us. Once again, it's not about us. But it's about Jesus and what He has done for us. We pray all this in Your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. If y'all have any questions, y'all can email me through this website. You can message me through Facebook. Twitter or Instagram. Some of you guys have my private phone number, so you definitely could text me. Until we meet again.